Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Morning Show. The Home Team. No, it's both. It's The Crossover with Sam Franco and Chris Brame.
Crossover, step back!
At the right here on 960theref.com.
What's up, everybody? Sam Franco, Chris Brame, back with another exciting episode of The Crossover right here on 960theref.com. Episode 45. So we're returning to the podcast, much like Michael Jordan returned to the NBA wearing number 45, although that didn't last very long.
No, because they got bounced from the playoffs, and then he went back to 23.
That's
right. And then they won three more titles.
That's absolutely correct. So Michael Jordan, one of the best, if not the best, basketball player of all time. And the NBA playoffs going on right now, although we're going to hold off talking about that because it's kind of ongoing in the first round right now. So maybe we'll check back in on the NBA after the first round and kind of set you up for the rest of the playoffs. But we're going to talk plenty of G-Day, which by the time you guys listen to this, because we'll post it tomorrow, which is Friday. So G-Day, when you hear this, will be tomorrow. So looking forward to the spring game. Of course, Brame and I will be at the UGA bookstore from noon to 2, getting you ready for all things G-Day, all things Georgia football. So we'll hit that pretty hard. We're also going to talk about the Braves. And then sort of to end today, I wanted to talk about, we will get a little NBA in, although it's really only about one guy, and that's LeBron James, and his idea that he is the person or the first person to ever think about having a bunch of guys sit down in a barbershop and talk to each other.
Yeah, I've never seen that before. That's an interesting concept.
That's not a trope that has been around in movies and media for decades or anything like that.
I know the first time I can recall seeing it was in
Coming to America. Yeah. Man, absolutely. So we'll get to that at the end of the podcast here. But first and foremost, like I said, G-Day, the annual Georgia spring game coming up. And the big thing to talk about here, obviously, is Justin Fields. I mean, everybody is going to be very anxious to see Justin Fields. Will Georgia end up employing him in a similar way that they did DJ Shockley when David Green was the quarterback? Will it be kind of like a Chris Leak, Tim Tebow situation at Florida? Will it be like that, or will we see Fields more, or we see Fields less? I don't think we're going to learn a lot on Saturday because Coach Smart isn't going to show his hand in terms of any sort of wrinkles or anything you might see with Fields. But I certainly think we'll see a lot of Fields on G-Day, and I certainly think a lot of Georgia fans are very excited about that.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's going to be a star. And, whether it's this year or a couple of years from now remains to be seen. But, I mean, I think he's, the odds are very good that he's going to be a terrific quarterback. But, honestly, I think barring, something happening to Fromm, like what happened to Eason last year, Fromm's going to take, probably somewhere between 90 and 95% of the meaningful snaps for Georgia this year. He's mm-hmm. the team's starting quarterback. And, this is the first time in how many years now that Georgia returns a quarterback who the previous season was terrific. Since Aaron Murray.
Aaron Murray was the last one.
Yeah. I mean, Hudson Mason didn't have a terrible year individually, but that wasn't a great team. And then you went from Grayson, to Grayson Lambert. And then from there, Eason's freshman season wasn't any good either. So, there was a lot of pressure on him coming in with Fromm breathing down his neck. But here it's funny that, there's this idea that Fields now is breathing down Fromm's neck, and Fromm had a terrific year last year, and we haven't had that out of a quarterback since Aaron Murray, who, I mean, the way time flies, I mean, it seems like ages ago that Murray was Georgia's quarterback, and I mean, that was four starting quarterbacks ago now.
That's right. So definitely the quarterback position is always going to be the one that moves the meter, that gets the most attention. And we're certainly looking forward to seeing Justin Fields. But I think one thing that a lot of people are anxious to watch, too, is the running back situation, because you're replacing the number two and number three all-time leading rusher in Georgia history. So that's incredible that those two guys played on the same team at the same time and still ended up number two and number three on Georgia's all-time list. But you look at the way that these other running backs have looked. DeAndre Swift in particular, although it doesn't look like he's going to feature at G-Day. He's dealing with a little bit of an injury. So it looks like we're going to see a lot of Brian Herrien, a lot of Elijah Holyfield, and then maybe some other guys as well. But those are the two that I think a lot of people are really looking at, because you already know what you're going to get with DeAndre Swift. And we've seen Herrien and Holyfield in passing. We haven't really seen them as feature guys. I know that Holyfield had that great touchdown run against Vanderbilt last year where he busted around the left side and just took it all the way to the house. But other than that, we haven't seen a whole lot there. Holyfield had, was it against Notre Dame? Was it Holyfield that had the kick return that got called back?
Yeah, it was him.
Yeah, so I mean, we've seen spurts, but we haven't seen, you know, it consistently, because they were behind two of the best running backs, not just in Georgia history, but in SEC history, maybe even college football history. So
I think it was also Holyfield that was in on that play in the SEC championship game, at that touchdown that actually got called back because of a pick play, but they had him kind of lined back in the backfield at fullback. But yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Holyfield and Herrien, we won't see them as feature backs this fall either. Maybe those are the guys that are going to get the bulk of the carries Saturday. And we already know that they're very good running backs too, but DeAndre Swift, you know, James Cook is coming in. He's not here yet.
And James Cook kind of seems like at least what a lot of people are thinking of, that he's going to be sort of a jack-of-all-trades type guy for Georgia. He could end up being kind of like a Brandon Smith, where you, not saying that he's going to play defense, but at least on offense you can employ him in a bunch of different sets, a bunch of different ways. And then, you know, I know you were probably about to get to this, but Zamir White, you know, he's obviously hurt right now, but what's he going to look like when we actually see him playing football?
Yeah. I mean, we're not going to see him Saturday, no. But I mean, he's been out there practicing this, you know, this spring. I mean, maybe not doing a ton, but the fact that he's even suited up, I think, is beyond what anyone imagined he'd be able to do at this point. So, I mean, I'm anticipating we're going to see him against Austin Peay. But, you know, maybe the coaches say we don't need him against Austin Peay. We'll give him another week there. But, I mean, I think he appears to be on track to play this season and play early.
Well, look, ACL injuries just aren't what they used to be. With rehab, with medical technology, it just seems like you can get back from them a lot quicker. Look at Todd Gurley and what he did going into the NFL. Look at what Nick Chubb did with his. I mean, having a, what, 220-plus yard rushing game in his first game back a lot earlier than a lot of people thought he was going to be back. So the ACL injury, not what it used to be. So I totally agree that we could see Zamir White a lot earlier than people expected to.
Yeah. I mean, I'm the unit that I am most anticipating to watch on Saturday, that I've heard a lot of, you know, maybe not so much like publicly, but sort of quietly, that people that have been out there to watch practice, they have raved about Georgia's offensive line, mm-hmm. the size of it. And, you know, this will be our first chance to see. I mean, Mays is just a true freshman anyway, but he's here so to get a look at him. But also, you know, our first real chance to get a glimpse at, like, Isaiah Wilson, Torrey Johnson, some of those guys that came in last year and redshirted. Thomas, we already know, is excellent. He had a great freshman year at right tackle. Now he moves to the left side. But, you know, Georgia's offensive line seems to be shaping up. You know, how we've been just praying for it to for years and years and years, and it's like we finally got to that point with the offensive line where it's not the major offseason concern.
No, beefing up the trenches has certainly been something that this coaching staff has made priority number one. And you just look at the recruiting they've done on the offensive line, it's been pretty incredible. So that's definitely one to look forward to. Switching to the other side of the ball, you know, I think a lot of people think that whereas last season Georgia's defense paced the Dogs at the beginning of the season until the offense could kind of catch up, especially with a freshman quarterback. Now it seems like a lot of people think the offense is going to have to pace this team while the defense kind of catches up, because you lost a lot of good players on defense. I mean, Roquan Smith probably going to go top 10. I think his floor would be 11 to your Dolphins, and I know you want that really badly.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, but then
I'd feel bad for him if he got drafted there, because they're not very good. But.
Well, you know, they got to start somewhere, right?
Yeah, true.
So, you know, that could be the case there. And then Lorenzo Carter doesn't look like he'll fall past, like, the middle of the second round. You've also gotten a Trenton Thompson that's going to go pretty highly, I would assume, somewhere in the second round in this draft. Davin Bellamy's gone as well. So plenty of guys to have to replace for Georgia's defense. You know, there are guys that you're looking at that certainly will be able to step in. You look at a Tyler Clark, I think a lot of people like what he could do. Jonathan Ledbetter is another guy that a lot of people are really anxious to see take that next step, and that's just on the defensive line.
Yeah, I mean, the defensive line question is really, it's about the depth there, and I think that's what you've heard a lot of hand-wringing about in the spring so far. There's not a problem with the quality there. It's the quantity. I mean, Ledbetter and Clark played more snaps in those spots last year than anyone else did, so you've got experience coming back. It's just you got to keep your fingers crossed that nobody up there gets injured. And then, you know, you have Julian Rochester, Daquan Hawkins-Munkle, but Georgia really doesn't have a lot of help coming this summer at that spot. You know, that's certainly going to be a priority for Kirby in the next recruiting cycle. I mean, that's part of the reason I think that Tracy Rocker's no longer here, and Georgia made a change there at defensive line coach because there were two, you know, prominent linemen that we missed on in recruiting a couple of years ago, Derek Brown and then Aubrey Solomon, who went up to Michigan, where because of weather they couldn't even play a spring game. So I hope he's enjoying it up there.
Yeah, absolutely. Have fun with Jim Harbaugh and that whole situation. But Georgia's defense, you know, and it's not just, you know, defensive line, it's not just linebacking core. I mean, you're also having to replace a guy in the secondary and Dominic Sanders, who is one of Georgia's most important players.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of other veterans like Aaron Davis and Malcolm Parrish, but to me, the two best players last year in Georgia's defensive backfield were J.R. Reed and DeAndre Baker, and they're both back.
They're both back.
Exactly. Yeah, and Baker, I think it's going to be preseason, first-team all-conference. Reed will probably end up like maybe a second-teamer or something like that. But
we were looking at a 2019 NFL mock draft, and DeAndre Baker was like a top 10 pick.
Yeah, honestly, he was the one player for me back in January that I was, yeah, I thought had a chance to possibly decide he wanted to leave early that would have maybe been as big a loss, if not a bigger loss, than some of those other ones that you already knew were gone.
Right.
Just because, I mean, then the secondary would really be kind of in wacky shape there, where you're definitely looking at having to rely on some of these incoming freshmen coming in. And I know, you know, that's one thing Kirby's talked about in this spring is trying to light that fire through the media under, you know, some of these guys that have been in the system and been in the program now for a year or more that maybe aren't where he'd like them to be, because Georgia's got a good signing class coming in this summer of true freshmen. But I'm sure Kirby would rather not have to use those guys as true freshmen, especially early in the year when you got to face Bentley in week two and then Drew Locke in week number four. He'd prefer if these guys that he'd like to think that he's developed them to a point where they're at least going to be ahead of these kids that aren't even here yet.
One thing that's funny about spring games, and this is where people can let, you know, gas baggery rule the day sometimes. When I say gas baggery, I mean the talking heads that say, oh, well, you can't take too much from a spring game, you know. Look, I was watching that game last year, and I know that it was only a spring game, but watching Jake Fromm, watching Jacob Eason, Fromm looked like the better quarterback. And I think a lot of people, that kind of started that whole QB controversy there of, hey, who should be starting? And it didn't really end up mattering a whole lot because Eason went down very early and Fromm got the job and never looked back. But that's the thing. Don't act like that this is, you can't take anything from this. Because what if Fields plays really, really well? I'm not saying that he's going to pip Fromm, but it could set up for, hey, this guy needs to see the field a lot as well.
Sure, but, you know, I mean, the one thing, too, is last year is Eason was quarterbacking against the first-team defense.
Of course.
Which we found out was one of the best in the country, and Fromm was throwing passes to guys being covered by walk-ons. But here's the thing with Fromm. It's like he was coming in as a five-star. I don't think anyone doubted he was any good, and the same thing applies to Fields. Just I think the difference in where we're at from this year from as opposed to last year in terms of the quarterback spot is Fromm's coming off an excellent season, whereas Eason was not. So
right.
I guess there was a little more heat on, as far as that goes.
Yeah, certainly. But at the same time, I just think that don't necessarily buy into the narrative that spring games are just pointless scrimmages, because I don't think that's the case.
Yeah, I mean, I think sometimes I think in some places coaches can – whatever the fans want to see, like if you've had a lousy offense, like they're going to make sure in the spring game that your offense looks like it's better, so they don't have to hear. Yeah, they don't
have to be overblown.
They don't have to take any crap from anybody for the entire offseason. We're still not any better on offense, but I'm sitting here and, I mean, for the first time in how long, it's just there's, you know, you're not sitting there wanting to see stuff out of Georgia, like trying to convince yourself that this guy's definitely better and he's finally going to have his breakout season, or this is finally going to be the year, man, our strength and conditioning program has finally gotten its act together and we're going to be in good shape. There's like with this team now, based on last year, I don't find like we're having to sit around and really trying to convince ourselves about anything or this team moving forward. It's not to say that there aren't questions out there, but you know, honestly, I do still at this point in the year, we're not going to get answers to those. There's still an entire offseason program to get to, and then, you know, a month of fall practice leading up to, you know, the actual season beginning. But it's just good to have, you know, be coming off an SEC championship and playing for the national championship, winning the Rose Bowl and coming off that excellent season, that you can actually get to spring and just kind of like not really have a ton to worry about as far as where the program is right now.
Right. I mean, Georgia's in a very, very good place. They're a team that the over-under by the shady Costa Rican people that set the over-under
sure.
that came out the other day.
Just trying to get your dough.
What was it, 10.5, I believe? And you know, that obviously puts Georgia in a good place.
Which, is probably about where it will be when, you know, legitimate operations also release those things later on.
Here's my question for you. If you were to put money down with that Costa Rican sports book right now, put like 100 on Georgia to go over 10.5, and they got 11 wins, what's the likelihood, or what's the over-under that you would actually see that money?
Well, here's the thing. I actually know a little bit about that particular operation because I have done business there before, and I have never had a problem being paid by them.
Okay.
However, within the last year, they were attached to another prominent sports book.
Offshore sports book.
And sort of branched out on their own, and now the word with them is they're struggling financially, and there are reports of people being slow paid or not paid at all. And so so here's what they've accomplished is they put out these win totals, people started broadcasting, they got some free advertising out of it, and if it's a company that's maybe a little strapped for cash, what they're hoping for is that some diehard SEC fans will deposit money with them, and they've got at least an 8-month cushion to collect interest on it because they know that they don't have to pay you until, you know, what, the beginning of December if you win.
Right.
So, you know, so I don't mess around there anymore since they branched off on their own, and the things are a little bit sketchy there, but
a little shady.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I think you might have to hold your breath if you did actually win. But the key is like, do you really want to like tie up money for 8 months?
No.
Yeah.
No. But I will say this. One thing we know about Saturday, Brain, Georgia's going to win.
Georgia will win Saturday. There's no line on that.
There's no line. You cannot bet on the game, but Georgia will indeed win on Saturday. All right, you're listening to The Crossover here on 960theref.com as we transition now into the Braves, who just won their fourth straight home series to open the season. The first time they've done that since the year 2000. So this team's definitely caught some people by surprise. I know they played the Phillies. What was yesterday their ninth time playing the Phillies already?
I think it was the sixth.
Oh, six.
Then
okay.
They play three and three.
That's right, that's right, yeah. That's right. So it was their sixth time playing them. I was trying to do the calculations in my head of how many times you actually play a team every year.
But now here's the thing. The Phillies don't come back to Atlanta now until
September, like the end of the year.
Yeah, the week Georgia's playing Missouri.
Wow.
If you want to just get an idea of how long the baseball season is, there you go.
I know there's a 3-game set in Philadelphia at some point in like July or something like
that.
Yeah,
but the Braves go to Philly a couple times, and then the last series of the year is in Philly. But you know, just think like, they've already been twice, and now so for June, no, we're still in April, so May, June, July, August. The Phillies are not coming to Atlanta.
Well, that's the thing. You've already won two series against the team that a lot of people don't think is very likely to finish any better than you. So, I mean,
yeah, so it's good.
Well, that's the thing, but it's also not a very good baseball team. So the Braves will definitely kick things up. I mean, they start a 4-game series with the Mets. As I said, we're recording this on Thursday, so a 4-game series with the Mets starts tonight, and the Mets are pretty darn good this year as well.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Mets though, and I feel like they're probably due for a little bit of after this hot start for a little regression. So maybe the Braves could end up catching them at the right time here, the way Atlanta's been playing. You know, Atlanta has they've got the best run differential in the NL.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I mean,
they're scoring runs.
Yeah, I mean they're not a fluke, and the pitching is, you know, occasionally been good. Even Tehran the other night threw a, you know, gave up a run at home. Of course, it was a home run. Struck out 9 and got his first win of the season.
Yeah, exactly. And that was crazy. He finally won a game at SunTrust Park.
Yeah.
But don't buy too much into that because he has consistently struggled there. So let's get him a few more starts at SunTrust doing well before we crown him the king of Cobb County.
No, yeah. I mean, like I said, he still gave up a home run. I mean, that's the thing. He gives up a home run every start, which
I think
is
it was
a problem.
Like the second pitch of the game. Or, I mean,
it was the first batter, yeah.
So, I mean, it was very quickly into the game that he had already gone down 1-0.
Hey, he settled in after that.
Well, though. I even reacted on Twitter. I was like, hey, stop me if you've heard this before. Julio Teheran just gave up a first inning home run. You know, he's always putting himself behind the eight ball, it seems like. But
no, we should start like a Twitter bot that's just like, did Julio Teheran allow a home run? And just, yes, no.
I love those Twitter bots. Those are great, though. Although the best website was, and unfortunately this guy passed away, but it was isAbeVigodaDead.com.
Yeah, because
he finally did pass away.
I always like the one. There's one with Big Ben in London that'll just like every hour, like just start tweeting out like ding, ding.
Is this a Big Ben?
Yeah, it's Big Ben. Yeah,
that's awesome. That is great stuff there. But for the Braves, I mean, a lot of these young players, you know, played very well. And guys you never heard of, really, like a Preston Tucker comes in, he's playing very well. Ryan Flaherty's playing very well. You know, Ozzie Albies, a guy who everybody's heard of, has come in on fire so far this year. Dansby Swanson started the season off well. The bats are there. And I think the offense is going to be there all season. Unfortunately, Freddie Freeman got hit in the wrist again. And we're still awaiting the results of that. So, I mean, this might sound a little dated by the time we actually get those results. But for Freddie to go down again would be brutal. But at the same time, I mean, it does seem like right now they have enough bats to at least kind of keep afloat.
Yeah, he missed basically a month last year too.
Over a month, like a month and a half.
Yeah, so yeah, hopefully he'll be all right. But so far Tucker's like, you're gonna call up Ronald Acuña?
It's like, not so fast.
Not so fast, my friend.
Well, and Acuña's been struggling a little bit as well in AAA. I mean, he finally hit his first home run the other day.
Yeah, but, he's off to a slow start.
He's been off to a slow start, and I think Alex Anthopoulos, the GM, was kind of like, hey, we're gonna let him get hot or like get a little bit more consistent before we call him up. And speaking of Alex Anthopoulos, the Braves have signed a guy that he's very familiar with from his time with the Blue Jays. Jose Bautista, you know, I just signed him to a minor league deal. They want him to play third base, but hey, with Freddie Freeman, if Freddie Freeman's out for a long period of time, you can put him at first base. It's a more comfortable position.
Yeah. I mean, the guy hit like 23 home runs last season.
He did strike out 170 times.
Oh, I know, but you know, for maybe an occasional some pop in there. I don't know. I mean, it's funny, the Braves with this, like, we're building for the future, and then over the last couple of years, they just keep adding these dinosaurs, like, you know, Matt Kemp.
Yeah.
For a little while.
Bartolo Colon, who almost pitched a perfect game the other day.
Against the reigning World Series champions. How does that happen?
Well, here's the thing about him. He was so awful for the Braves, and then he goes to the Twins last year. His first game out throws a complete game.
Yeah.
And then now he's with the Rangers throwing an almost perfect game against the defending World Series champions. I don't know how he was so bad for Atlanta. Like, it just kind of didn't work out.
I know, but... Yeah, it didn't. R.A. Dickey was the best pitcher.
But here's the thing about the signing of Jose Bautista. Very low risk. It's a minor league contract, and it could be a potentially high reward if the guy comes back and bounces back from a slower season last year.
Yeah. I know it was like they did that with Ryan Howard last year, and it felt the same way. And then Howard never even made it up. He couldn't get a hit in AAA.
Yeah. Since 2010, nobody – has hit more home runs in the major leagues than Jose Bautista.
Yeah, but you know, it was like a year ago, I remember when the Braves played the Blue Jays in Atlanta, and there was a brawl or whatever, things were getting hot because they had hit Freeman, and then they were mad because Bautista had homered and flipped his bat or whatever, so then they beamed him in the butt. but so it was like a year ago that the Braves he was still good enough to get under the Braves' skin, and then you know he hit like 200 last year, but he still did hit 23 home runs, and he hit like 20 something the year before. So I don't know if he can come up and maybe mash a few out. I mean, because right now, but that is like the one spot if he plays third base. Like whose place is he taking? Camargo's?
Yeah, the Braves don't really have a third baseman right now.
I mean, I know the guy that they hope will be up at some point is that Austin Riley,
right?
But, you know, he's not there yet. So, I guess I'd rather see Bautista in the lineup, even if he strikes out a ton more than Camargo. Is Adonis Garcia even still on the team?
Yeah, I don't even know what happened to him. Yeah. But that's the thing. Jose Bautista, A, is a guy you know. B, a guy that you know can be a very successful offensive player. So, that's the thing. Maybe you know, maybe a new scenery, you know, new set of circumstances, he could have a good year for the Braves. We don't know yet, but again, there's a minor league contract, so very low risk.
Yeah. You know, maybe hit a home run every week and a half or something.
Works for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the thing. You're not paying him a whole lot. I think this is more of a him trying to prove himself to other teams type thing, because this is not going to be a situation where he's on the Braves past the end of this season, I wouldn't think. So that could be a, hey, this is my audition for some other teams to try and go out there, maybe get a designated hitter contract or something for one more go-around in the American League.
Yeah, because I know, you know, who knows what he's like defensively at third. I know he's played there a little bit, but
hadn't played there, I think, since 2007 is what I saw when he was with the Pirates.
Yeah, he could be a bit of a liability on the hot corner.
Maybe just a little bit.
Hopefully they don't decide to move Freeman back over there like they did last year. That was about a dumb idea.
A stupid decision, no question about it. All right, last but not least here on this edition of The Crossover, we're going to talk something that I never thought we would really be mentioning in the same sentence. LeBron James and Nick Saban. They're both great at what they do. You know, Nick Saban, one of the best, if not the best college football coach of all time. LeBron, one of the best, if not the best NBA player of all time. So they're the tip-top of their professions. And guys like that tend to get a little bit arrogant. And LeBron James sent a cease and desist to Alabama because he has this show on his website, his digital platform called that's called Uninterrupted, where a bunch of guys just sit around in a barbershop and talk about stuff. And so Alabama kind of started the same type thing with Julio Jones, Nick Saban, and some other guys just sitting around in a barbershop setting. And LeBron wasn't too happy about it. He thought that Nick Saban and Alabama had encroached upon his intellectual property. And so sending that cease and desist, and Nick Saban basically jibed back at LeBron. He was like, "Oh, I think he's a great player. We're not going to stop doing it though." And then LeBron was like, "Well, I'm sure he was going to say that, but you know, I'll be damned if I'm going to let someone just rip me off like that."
They'll let the lawyers sort it out, is what he said.
Oh, and by the way, LeBron is now being sued for stealing this idea from someone else. And when this whole thing came out, my initial reaction to this was, so LeBron James thinks he's the first person to ever have the idea of dudes sitting around talking in a barbershop. And you and I mentioned this earlier in this podcast. This goes all the way back to Coming to America.
Well, and I'm sure Coming to America got the idea from somewhere too. Like, I'm sure the first person to have the idea of sitting around in a barbershop and talking was probably the first guy who ever opened a barbershop.
Right.
So
he should be suing all of us.
Right. Unfortunately, he's probably long gone. But like LeBron's going to go 1-1 here. He's going to not successfully sue Saban, but he will win his lawsuit against the person.
Oh, whoever
suing
this other guy is, yeah. But he ain't beating Saban.
I did know that.
Although like, Bama changed.
They did change their logo.
It was like Bama Cuts, I think.
Because their logo did look similar
that
to LeBron.
That part was a little suspicious.
Right.
But the whole,
so they changed their logo.
The whole notion that LeBron is the first person to have ever come up with this idea. This trope has been around, as we just mentioned, for a long time, including the Ice Cube movie Barbershop.
Right. And then also Ice Cube was in a movie Friday where I believe they sit around in a barbershop and talk.
That's right.
So it's yeah, I mean, it's been around forever. And, I mean, Saban did point that out. It was like, I don't know. I thought there were like 20 shows with people sitting around barbershops and talking. I've never seen LeBron's. But aren't there a lot of like guys that do that? Like, yes, Saban is correct there. So, yeah, I sided with the Emperor on that one.
I did too, but I'm 100% on board with a King James versus the Emperor beef, because that would be highly entertaining.
Yeah, it'd be good. I'm sure Saban at some point will decide he doesn't really have any time for that, though.
No, but I mean, I actually watched, I watched like a clip of LeBron's, and then I went and watched a little bit of the Julio Jones, Nick Saban, and someone else. I don't remember who the other guy was. But yeah, like Saban's just standing there with his arms folded, like kind of like talking to the guys, and then one dude's getting like a straight razor shave, and like Julio's sitting there talking to him too. My whole thing about this too is like, yeah, the trope, the idea has been around in various forms of media for a long time. So if LeBron were to sue Alabama, he ain't going to win that.
Here's the thing about that format, though, is to me, you should actually be in there getting your hair cut.
Right.
So like for Saban just to be standing in there with his arms folded, like, no, you should be in the chair getting your hair cut, talking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But, yeah. You know, here's what I like about it, though, is because Saban talked about he wanted to do it because, you know, now there's, you know, there's misconceptions out there about recruiting and the job they're doing. I'm like, there's a guy that he's getting a little nervous about what's brewing here in Athens.
Oh, no doubt. He's trying. Well, that's the thing. He's trying to do what Kirby and this staff have done so well, and that's connect to the recruits and connect to the youth and the way that, you know, the millennial mindset, if you will.
Right.
You know, they're all about different forms of absorbing media. And for him to do an online short like that, that's the kind of thing that kids are watching nowadays.
Because he didn't just lose his reign in recruiting national championship. He lost it to Kirby.
Yeah.
And that's got to eat at him more than if it had just been, all right, Ohio State had the number one class this year, or USC did, or someone. But it was Kirby. Kirby left him and then outdid him in recruiting in just 2 years.
Although I will say that Nick Saban got the actual national championship over Kirby in showdown number one.
He did. I mean, but that's all those previous recruiting championships were still paying off. But, like, moving forward, though, that's where the things could be turning.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So very much looking forward to the, I guess, the continued success of Georgia football against Alabama, both in recruiting and hopefully on the field. But I'm also, again, 100% here for a LeBron James and Nick Saban feud. Because, again, I think that would be the passive-aggressive behavior of both parties would just make for some great, like, you know, subtweeting, or, you know, just talking about someone. You know, subtweeting is what we call it now. But it's basically talking about someone without actually talking about them. You know, that's what we'd get a lot.
Once upon a time, it was subtext.
That's right, subtext.
Now it's, yeah, now we got it's subtweeting.
Reading between the lines.
But, yeah, I think eventually it'll be the lawyers battling it out, or it'll get dropped altogether because, LeBron didn't, and he didn't invent sitting around in a barbershop and talking.
No, he did not. All right, for Chris Bram, I'm Sam Franco. Bram and I will both be at the UGA bookstore on G-Day, noon to 2, getting you ready for the spring football game that kicks off at 4 o'clock on Saturday, April 21st. But again, for Chris Brame, I'm Sam Franco. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget, we are on iTunes. Search for The Crossover. Subscribe, rate, and review. It's very simple. Just throw us out a little 5-star love. We'd greatly appreciate it, and it vaults us up the charts. So we would greatly appreciate that from all of our wonderful listeners out there via the World Wide Web. Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Crossover. We'll be back next week on another exciting episode right here on 960theref.com.
You've been listening to The Crossover with Sam Franco and Chris Brain on 960theref.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.